Welcome, Sandy. We look forward to, and welcome to Steve, Sandy's husband's over there, Steve Riders, Herman and Val's son, Steve. If you don't know, Steve and Sandy are Val's family. And yeah, so we welcome you all. And
Shania.
Okay, it's a beautiful name, and I just, Shania. Welcome, Shania, with your little family. So thanks, Sandy.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me back again. It's such a humbling privilege to be able to come and share what God is doing in Kintsugi Ministry and what He's doing in the Lockwood Valley. I hope that's good. Psalm 105, 1-2 says, "O give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples, sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of His wondrous works." And that's what I've seen you do this morning, sharing what God is doing in everyone's life. It's so encouraging. We can't just live in our own little world. We need to share what God does in each of our lives, because it encourages us to know that He is just so powerful, that He can, and so loving, that He can work in everyone's life. Steve and I are so amazingly blessed to be covered by prayer, by some very amazing prayer warriors. Steve's parents cover us in prayer very often, and we appreciate that. He's placed some very godly people in our lives, and I just want to give him all the praise for doing that. Last time I was here, I shared with you how God gave us an opportunity to start Kintsugi Ministry. And if you haven't heard of us before, I've got some flyers on the table there. But hopefully as I go through my talk, you'll get an understanding of what we're doing in the valley. It's been a very slow process since I was here last time to get established. And because Steve and I are very limited in our time, and we have jobs and running households, progress has not been as fast as I would have liked it to be. There's a huge need in the valley, but trying to put all the pieces together to run a charity and a ministry has been very challenging for us. However, God has a purpose and a plan for everything. Even when it feels like to us that He isn't working, He is working. His word says, "All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose." And Steve and I believe that we're called according to His purpose. So when things aren't even making progress or making sense to us, we need to lean on God. I know that He is teaching us and preparing us and changing us to be more Christ-like. It never happens in an instant to become like Christ. It is a journey. And I don't want to be anywhere except in the middle of His will. So although it feels very slow, progress has been happening, and we're very excited. So Steve and I have been ministering to a number of young Wontok girls in the Lockyer Valley. And Wontok is just means one talk. It's the islanders. They understand each other in a degree through their one talk. So if I say one talk, that's what I mean. We have a very multicultural church. So Steve is the pastor of Gatton Church of Christ, and we have lots of different nationalities there. We're very excited and blessed to have a group of young Islander girls who attend regularly. There's lots of issues and sad stories amongst these girls, and we really praise God that He has put these girls in our church and in our sphere so that we can look after them. I just want to share with you a story. Now, I've changed the names for privacy and confidentiality purposes of this story. So Millie is a young Solomon Islander girl. She came to Australia to work so that she could send money home to help her family. She's away from friends and family. She's in a new country that she's trying to navigate and understand. There are different rules here in Australia. Australians value punctuality. Islanders not so much. She's working hard on the farm. Millie gravitates towards her own type of people because she's seeking some familiarity, and there she feels comfortable in with her people. She's lonely. She finds herself pregnant to the wrong kind of man, the kind of man who leaves her pregnant and abandons his responsibility. So Millie has her baby, but then she returns to the Solomon Islands to place her baby in the care of her parents, so that she can then return to Australia and continue to work, and that's heartbreaking enough. Millie finds it hard to find a place to live when she comes back, and she's invited by a man to come and live with him. But he expects favours from her. After all, he's doing her a huge favour and letting her live there. So at the GP clinic, she is given advice on contraception and agrees to have an implant. She does not want to have sex with this man, but she feels she has no other choice because the alternative for her is homelessness. She can't afford to rent on her home. She can't afford to live anywhere else. It's a very sad story. It's an unexpected story. And when I heard it, it broke my heart. This is not a lady, young lady that I know. This is a young lady that one of our GPs in our clinic was determined to help, and he shared the story with me. Of course, this is not everyone's story, but it's a sample of the kind of things that these girls are experiencing. There is an ever-growing number of young Islander girls who are falling pregnant, medically classed as unplanned pregnancies. There's a growing concern for these girls, especially in the GP clinic where I work. I've had discussions over lunch breaks with the GPs who are saying, what can we do? How can we help these girls? So a lot of these Islander girls come to the clinic and they're looking for a solution. And the solution, the easy solution for them, is termination. The GPs are aware of the ministry that Steve and I do, and they're very helpful in supporting us. There's also been a lot of initiatives from different services in the region to provide education and information to these girls, and that's been very encouraging. So Steve and I are working with members in the Lockyer Valley Regional Council and other members of the community to try to think of ways to approach these girls and help them with sexual education, contraception, those sorts of things. And people may say, well, they shouldn't have sex in the first place, or, you know, they made their bed, they should lie in it. But I really don't think that's what Jesus would say. Sorry, I did have a slide. No, I don't have a slide. Anyway. It would be wonderful if these young girls were devoted to follow Jesus. It would be fantastic if they were taught to and committed themselves to wait until marriage so they can raise their baby in a safe family. It would be beneficial if they were given sexual education. And it would be freeing for them to not have to worry about the shame associated with going to the GP and ask for contraception. I've actually learned over time that in some of these cultures, there's not a lot of understanding around our laws of privacy and confidentiality in the health industry. We're very strict in the GP clinic on that. But I've told that when Islanders go to the clinic, they think that everybody knows what they're there for. If there's another Islander in the wait room, they think that person knows exactly what I'm here for. So if they go with a sore knee, that's okay, because I have a sore knee, they know I have a sore knee, it's no problem. But if they go there and they're looking for contraception, they think everybody knows what they're there for. And so it's very shameful for them. And they will tend to avoid doing that. So they just don't go. As I shared last time when I was here, my husband Steve and I became aware of this need when we started to minister to these young Islander girls, and that's when Kintsugi Ministry started. We currently have two PNG girls living with us now. I've kind of doctored the photo for their privacy, but Shania is one of our girls, and she's come to support me today, which is amazing. They each have a baby girl, and they're both here with us today. One is 10 months old, and the other one is 10 weeks old today. These girls had nowhere to go and they were scared when they found out they were pregnant. Both girls contemplated termination. Both girls now have their babies in their arms. They have somewhere safe to live and they have jobs. Steve and I are so blessed to have the privilege of helping these girls. It's brought us so much joy and so much love. Our house is full of baby laughter and baby crying. We get to watch them reach their milestones and we get to watch them grow. And Steve and I now know a whole range of Coco Melon songs and we find ourselves singing them at all different times of the day. Both of these young mums have embraced us and have included us in the raising of their babies. And I can honestly say that it's been amazing. God has bestowed this blessing on us and I give him all the praise for that. But starting a charity has also been very challenging. It's nothing that Steve and I have ever done before. So we have now officially started Kintsugi Ministries. We've registered it as a charity. We have a management committee of 8 people. We have an ABN number. We're in the process of registering for the ACNC. All this red tape, all this legal stuff that you've got to do, and all this official paperwork. And I really don't care about that. I only care about these girls, investing in these girls, being allowed to invest in these girls, having the opportunity to help these girls. But there's a greater need than just the two that we have. And disappointingly, Steve and I, we're very limited in the help that we can offer. We're just 2 people with 24 hours in our day and many other responsibilities. Originally, Kintsugi Ministries was designed as a process whereby the young mums would stay with us for 12 months, during which time we would support them with their work, with their study, with both, and we would prepare them for the future. We had every good intention in our design, but there were a couple of problems with that model. One of the issues is what happens after 12 months? These girls still cannot cope on their own. They still need support. They still need someone somewhere to live. And they still need someone to help them. After 12 months, it's not a magical solution that they'll be able to step out on their own. But the second issue, and the more important issue, is that Steve and I have bonded with these girls and their babies. And we can't get rid of these girls. We love these girls. They're like our own girls. Some very wise and godly people warned us that this might happen, that we would become attached. And they were right. We love these girls. We love their babies. They're like our own girls. And we just can't let them go. So the committee of Kintsugi Ministries has been looking at different ways and different models how to support the young girls in this situation. Our ultimate model would be for other people to open their homes to these girls, people that have the ability to accommodate young pregnant girls and embrace them. But we also realise that it's a huge commitment and understandably not everyone is able to embrace that idea. Not everyone has the ability to do that. God has placed it on Steve and I, on our heart. It's the will for us. So in lieu of that, Kintsugi Ministries is now looking at doing outside support services. So the support would target the same sort of young girls, but without the ability to offer them a place to live. But Kintsugi Ministries would help out with financial costs, with medical appointments, baby formula, nappies, other baby essentials for them. We'd also offer personal support during medical appointments and transport to and from those medical appointments, because a lot of these girls do not have the transport. We can help them navigate the Australian health system and also to tap into resources to help them with visas, with courses that they can study and with job opportunities. Will that be enough for them? Maybe it won't. But it might just be the difference between them keeping their baby and terminating. An important thing that Steve and I have realised along the way is that we aren't equipped to be heroes, nor do we want to be heroes. This is all God's work. We are just his hands and his feet. And as much as we would love to have a big house with a dozen rooms and a donation base that can support these girls long term, we don't have that. Steve and I are just two ordinary people who give ourselves to this ministry as much as we can. But the good news is that God knows these girls. He created these girls. He knows their situation. He bestowed on them the blessing of a baby. He knows what they need, and they are in his care. So God still has his hand on this ministry, and he will develop it in his way and in his timing. Steve and I have been reassured by this through different opportunities that God has opened up to us. On International Women's Day every year, the Lockyer Valley Regional Council hosts a breakfast. They invite a guest speaker to come, who comes along to share their story and encourage the women and the men that go. And Steve and I met with Mayor Tanya Milligan, and she explained that there's a raffle held at this event, and every year they support a service in the Lockyer Valley with the proceeds of the raffle. And this year they offered to support Kintsugi Ministries, and we were absolutely, totally honoured by that. Every dollar raised through the raffle was donated to our ministry, and all Kintsugi had to do was help with setup, clean up, and help out on the day of the event. I can say that it was a well-attended event, and over $1,000 was donated to us to help with the girls. That was such a huge blessing that God bestowed on us, that God opened up and orchestrated for us. Additionally, we have had some great donations from other companies. Golden Cockerel Chickens recently donated half a freezer full of chicken, 2 dozen eggs, a dozen avocados to our household, which really helps with our grocery bill. And this came with a pledge from them to give chicken to us generously and often.
Wow.
So almost every second night, chicken is on the menu. Bamboo Diapers, a company in Brisbane, donated to Kintsugi Ministry nappy bins, boxes of different size nappies, and many boxes of baby wipes. And they have, believe me, come in handy. A family health clinic where I work in Gatton have been supportive in many ways, giving health advice, giving donations and supporting us. So really God has blessed us abundantly and continues to do so. And then Judy rang me and asked me to come and speak again, and you know, God, so God is, we can see God working in this, and we're so blessed and thankful. However, for Steve and I personally, there have been many challenges, and we do feel like we've been under spiritual attack. Of course, the devil doesn't like us doing God's work. One such attack came earlier this year. After much prayer and waiting on God, Steve and I felt sure of our decision to sell our house in Brisbane and buy a suitable property here in the valley to accommodate us and our girls. But the sale of the Brisbane house and the purchase of the Gatton house came with so many problems, so many setbacks, so many issues that we felt like giving up. Steve and I became so exhausted and discouraged from the amount of problems that we encountered. At almost every step of the way, something went wrong or there was a major disappointment. And we were questioning whether we were really in the will of God or not. I really just wanted God to come down and say, yeah, you're doing the right thing, keep going, that's okay. Or no, don't buy that house, no, you're doing the wrong thing. That's what I wanted. But as we know, that doesn't happen. But in hindsight, now that we've been in the house and we're in there, we believe that this is the right place for us. It's so suitable for us and the girls' needs. But God really used this house situation to do some major work in me personally, spiritually. I didn't realise that I was holding on to earthly things so tightly in my affections until God revealed that to me through this situation. Firstly, I loved our house in Brisbane. I loved living there. It was just the perfect house for me. It was me all over. I loved it. I always imagined that we would eventually return there. So I was really heartbroken when we sold it. And I didn't realise how heartbroken I was until I cried my eyes out. And then the house that we were looking to purchase in Gatton, although it was suitable for our needs and it was quite modern and it was, you know, a good house, I had absolutely no fondness for it whatever. It was practical. It was what we needed. It was a good size. Just didn't appeal to me. It was just not my dream home. But really, our home is in heaven. And God tells us not to hold tightly to the things of this world. So what's more important, that I have my dream home or that I have a suitable house for our girls and our babies to the glory of God? And that's an easy answer. So in the end, God showed me my heart and I humbly confessed my selfish desires for a dream home. God challenged me. As we know, Matthew 6:21 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Because our purpose is to live for his glory, I had to shamefully admit that I was holding tightly to an earthly dream. And as a side note, as I was writing this talk and sitting at my desk in my study, I am looking out of a window to cows on a hillside. And when I wake up in the morning sometimes before the sun rises, I can open up my blinds, sit in bed, have a coffee and watch the sunrise. And I couldn't do that in Brisbane. But this is really not such a bad house. I have lots of things to be thankful for. And really, I really just needed a kick up the bum to be thankful that I have a house at all to live in. When I last shared with you in November, we had two girls living with us. One I named Simone, which is actually Shania because she's here. I can actually say that. And another girl, Sharon. And that's not her name, but I'm protecting her privacy. We also had another girl on our radar who I named Tina, who found out that she was pregnant, and after much prayer and support, she decided to keep her baby, praise be to God. So I just wanted to give you an update on that. So when Sharon's baby was about 5 months old, she came to Steve and I to advise us that she had decided to move out of our house. She said that she had friends that had offered her a place to live, to move in with them, and she had arranged for a lady to look after her baby while she went back to work. Oh, excuse me. I get a dry mouth when I'm nervous. So this announcement from her came as a bit of a shock to us. We weren't expecting it. However, the aim of the ministry is to support these girls to get back on their feet, to find ways to support themselves and their child, and to make a future for themselves. So effectively, this seemed like a good outcome for her. We were proud of her for taking the initiative of finding herself somewhere to live, a job, and childcare for her baby. So we were very pleased for her. And because Sharon then had vacated our house, we were in a position to offer Tina to come and live with us, which she came and lived with us late last year. And Tina had a baby girl in April this year, and she is thriving. If you look that way, that's the baby girl over there. And once again, we were blessed and privileged. And I was asked again to be the birthing partner for Tina. What an amazing honour that was. Tina now has a job at a local cafe. She's working hard to save money. She has to pay for her and her baby's visas, which are due in December, and they cost a fortune. But she is saving for that. She's also very ambitious and motivated, and she wants to study nursing. But after discovering how much it costs, she again needs to work hard and save for that. But I'm so proud of her that she is just hitting the ground running and she is just doing it. So what's the future of Kintsugi Ministries? I really believe that God is working in this space. Steve and I have a vision, we have a dream, we have a desire to help these young girls, but there are many obstacles. There are many limitations, there are many setbacks for us. The path is not always clear for us. However, I'm learning to lean on God. Psalm 4:6, be still, know that I am God. We don't have to do God's job. I don't have all the answers. And the future of Kintsugi Ministries rests entirely on God's will and purpose. He started the ministry. Steve and I are simply his hands and his feet. And I need to remember not to try to do things on my own esteem. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. When I sat down to write what I wanted to talk about this morning, I was a bit lost. I said to Steve, I don't really know what to share because it feels like we've made no progress with the ministry and we've been struggling through such a hard time. And he said, tell them about how God brought Tina and her baby to become part of our family. And if that's all I share, I give him glory for that. And even though we've been through a very tough season, the rewards are still amazing for us. Being a part of Tina and Shania's lives is such a blessing. Even if God designed Kintsugi Ministries simply just to help the three babies that we've helped, then it's so worth it to me. I'd love for Kintsugi Ministries to become a ministry to the young Islander girls in the valley. Firstly, to those who find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy, who need our support. They need education, they need love, they need care. And my heart breaks every time I learn of a young girl who's pregnant and wants to terminate. I'm angry at the young men who impregnate and then abandon these girls. I want to be able to offer support and education, care and love to these girls. I want a better system to take care of them. I want them to have more value in themselves to wait until they find the right partner. I want them to know Jesus as Saviour, Lord and Friend. The problem seems impossible and insurmountable to me because there are so many stories and so many situations. But nothing is impossible for God. As I said earlier, God has opened our church up to many nationalities. We have a very strong Wontok group who attend our church, and Steve and I are investing in them and embracing them and welcoming them and loving them. We're hoping that Gatton Church of Christ can become a meeting place for these young people and become a place that they feel safe, that they feel welcome and they feel loved, and a place they can turn to in time of trouble. So that is where we're up to in Kintsugi Ministry. So I just want to point out some praise points now. I want to praise Jesus for loving these mums and these bubs. I want to praise God for the blessing of these babies, these three babies. When Steve and I look at them and experience them, their laughter, their joy, their crying, they're putting their arms up for a cuddle, amazing to us. I want to praise the Holy Spirit for the work he's doing in these girls' lives. I want to praise God for continuing to provide for these mums and bubs. We have set up an account exclusively for Kintsugi Ministries, and at one time it was getting really low and I was kind of a bit worried. Trust God, and it is now full again. It's amazing. I want to praise Jesus for his steadfast love, faithfulness and care of these mums and bubs. And our prayer points. I just pray that Kintsugi Ministries will be a blessing to the Lockyer Valley, to the vulnerable girls in need of pregnancy support. I pray that God will continue to provide for Kintsugi Ministries and by extension providing for these girls and their babies. And I pray that Kintsugi Ministries will be equipped to minister to more young girls in the Lockyer Valley, more helping hands, more resources. I pray that opportunities would open for these mums to be able to study without a huge financial burden to carry through their life. And I just pray that these babies would thrive and grow and come to know Jesus. Thank you.
I'd like to ask Tish if she would like to come out and pray. Letitia's here this morning, and welcome, Letitia. I didn't welcome you earlier. And we know your heart and what you've been doing in the Fiji Islands. And
Can I come too?
You come too, yes. Yeah. Anybody like to come out and we can lay hands on these beautiful couples?
Inspirational, aren't they? Mm. And you've heard my stories about me going to Fiji. Well, hey, they're right here, right here in our own backyard. So bless you guys for what you're doing. And Father, we do. We just stand with this couple. Jesus, thank you that you've planted them in the valley. God, thank you for a church that looks outside beyond its four walls. Thank you that you've brought the nations to them, and particularly the islanders, Father. And even though it feels like it's been tough and slow, well, that's how things work in the islands. but it's always your timing, and you're always at work. But God, it's going deep as well, and you've gone deep into the lives of these mothers, of these children. You're building strong foundations that will last for generations to come. And so, God, we just thank you for what you've done, and we thank you for how you're positioning them and setting them up for the future, just with all the logistical nightmare paperwork stuff. But God, it's important, and you'll continue to make a way, and you'll continue to shine a light upon this ministry, upon this couple, upon their family and their church. So we pray that many hands will come around them, Father, that many homes will open their doors, God, that hearts, Lord, would be turned and changed, that we would see a church that really embraces the aliens in our midst, embraces the babies, Father. And so just bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.